Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to all of our congregations. Great to be together this morning as we kind of jump into our Vision Sunday. A happy new year to all of you, especially those that I've not seen yet in 2026. I hope you've come into this year, you know, ready with expectation of all that God wants to do in our own lives personally, but also together as Kingdom Faith, as a church in this local area, but also beyond in the region, the nation, and in other nations. And this morning's message is really to launch us into this year and set a course for 2026. And it's going to be a mix of vision, of reminders, some teaching, and obviously really practical outworking in terms of what God is saying to us. What we're going to do is we're going to look at our vision video and then really use the message to unpack that as to what that really means and what that looks like in our lives.
We're living to see revival for a generation, turning the tide of a godless society that transforms lives, communities, and nations. An ongoing move of the Holy Spirit where hearts are awakened, the lost are saved, and believers are fully alive to their purpose in Christ. Jesus enthroned in every area of our lives. One church in many locations, an apostolic family of leaders and churches carrying the same faith and revival dynamic. A disciple-making disciples community who walk in obedience, carrying His presence and revealing His nature and character to the world. From generation to generation, children, young people and adults carrying the fire of God with courage and boldness. A people of worship and encounter, called to live as standard bearers of God's word and His ways in our generation. Who champion the cause of the gospel and hold to the truth in the face of opposition and compromise, contending for the purposes of God in our nation and the nations through strong, persistent, and consistent prayer. Called to bring a biblical understanding of God's heart for Israel and the Jewish people, honoring their role in God's redemptive plan through His unbreakable covenant made with them. Preparing for the end time harvest, living with urgency and hope for the one who breaks open the way and goes up before us. Breakthrough, increase, our King is coming. Now is the time.
Father, we thank You for the vision that You've given us. Father, we thank You for the mandate that You've given Kingdom Faith to be a people of revival, to be a people of faith, to be a people of breakthrough, that You've called us to reach people locally, to affect the region and the nation and nations. And Father, we thank You for all that You've done over the decades of the history of Kingdom Faith through all the different generations. And Father, we're here today representing this generation of time in all that You want to do in this year and going forward. And so, Father, we just give ourselves to You in the light of what we've just seen. And we know that's a local to global vision, and we can't do that in our own strength. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask You, we invite You, would You come upon us afresh? Would You fill us afresh? Would You empower us afresh? Would You anoint us afresh for the call and the purposes and the mandates that You've given us as a people, as Kingdom Faith? And Holy Spirit, we ask You that this year, every one of us will be able to find our place in that vision, in that purpose, and in this family that we're part of, that you've called us to be. So, Father, we just thank you that you enable us to have ears to hear what you want to say this morning, and that would be open and responsive to all that you want to do in and through our lives in this coming year. We thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now, in Habakkuk 2, verse 2, in the context of Habakkuk and the nation and what was going on then, he was praying. He had some complaints. There were some issues going on. He had some stuff he was inquiring of the Lord about. And the Lord said to him, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it or who hears it. And why have we put the vision in something really visual with words? Because it's so important to encapsulate what has God said to us? What has he called us to be doing? And in those 2.5 minutes, it encapsulates this is what he's placed in our hands to carry. This is what he wants to do through our lives. And vision from God is so key for every individual, but also for a people, for a church, because it gives us purpose, it gives us focus as to how we live in relation to what God wants to do in and through our lives. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, or where there is no revelation of God and his word, people cast off restraint. But blessed are those who keep the law of the Lord, or blessed are those who walk in the ways and in the word of God. And what does vision do? What does revelation do? It gives us riverbanks for the river to flow in. And so God speaks to us and God gives us vision. He gives us revelation to give us riverbanks in our lives. And then the Holy Spirit works in us like this river for us to flow with him and move with him within the words that God has given, the promises that he's given, the vision that he's laid out for us to move in, to flow in, individually in our lives, but really together as a people. And so God has called Kingdom Faith. He's called us to be a kingdom people on the move with him, a people who have set their hearts and their lives to know and serve the King of Kings. So everything that God does in our lives, everything that God does amongst a group of people is always in the context of relationship with him. And so as far as God's concerned, it's relationship with him, but also with a purpose. In Matthew 6, verses 9 to 10, Jesus describes this. When the disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray, they saw the reality of this relationship with God that he had. And they're like, this is different. Teach us how to pray. What does it look like? And Jesus said this. He describes what it looks like. He says, our Father in heaven. So he begins with relationship. And then he talks about who the Father is. Hallowed, honored, revered, holy is your name. But then he says, in the context of this relationship with the who of Father, who is holy, revered, and honored, he then said this, your kingdom come, his rule and reign. Your will be done, your purpose, where? On earth as it is in heaven. What did he mean by that? Here today and every day, right now, God wants to work his kingdom purposes out in us and through us. And so when we come to our vision, our mandate, and what we've put in the video and what God has shown us, and taking different sections of that and unpacking that this morning, we begin with, we're living to see revival for a generation, turning the tide of a godless society that transforms lives, communities, and nations. An ongoing move of the Holy Spirit where hearts are awakened, the lost are saved, and believers are fully alive to their purpose in Christ, where Jesus is enthroned in every area of our lives. So we're living to see revival for a generation. Biblically, a generation is 40 years. That's a long time. And God has been unfolding this vision over the last decade or so. And I believe over the next 10, 20 years, we're moving into a phenomenal season as the church in the nation and nations, but also for us as a church, as part of the church. And Maybe the first 5 years of this decade have been quite a turbulent 5 years, and lots of things changing, lots of things shifting. And God has been in the midst of all of that. A lot of change, not only within the church, but also in the nation, in society and in culture. A lot of things arising, a lot of things going on, a lot of tension, a lot of angst, a lot of fear, a lot of aggro in different ways. But God is in the midst of it all. And I believe over the next 5-15 years, we're going to see God moving in our nation. The church is going to shift in the next 5 years. And we're going to see a different kind of church emerging in our nation than the one that we've had for the last 20, 30, 40 years. It's like God is beginning to revive the church, move in the church, realign the church, awaken the church, ready for an incredible move of God in the nations that we're going to be living in. And so this living to see revival for a generation, turning the tide of a godless society, we're right at the beginnings of that in a fresh way, I believe. And that really gives us the backdrop for the heart and the motivation for our prayer and fasting that we're launching into over the next coming weeks, and what will really set the scene for the year, but also some prayer and fasting at different times during the year. But the video, that mandate, that vision that we have really gives us the heart and motivation. And before we get into really unpacking some things from that, and what does that look like for us? What does it mean for us to be living this in 2026? I just want to start in Joshua chapter 1 and just unpack a few verses briefly. And in Joshua 1, the context is Moses is now dead. He's not with them any longer. Joshua is now the leader. They're on the edge of the promised land. God has been speaking, I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to give you a land and you're going to possess it. And I'm going to fulfill loads of things to you as a people. And this is what he begins to say in Joshua 1, verse 2. He says, now then, having been through all that you've been through, now then, here you are right now. And he says, he's saying to Joshua, you and all of the people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you. So he starts with you and everyone, all these people, every generation, doesn't matter what the generation is, you and all these people, get ready. And then what does he say in verse 3? I give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. So there's generational promises going on here. God's already been working from generation to generation, and he's going to continue to fulfill his promises. And we are in a place where God has been unfolding his promises, unfolding what he's been saying to us as Kingdom Faith. And here he's saying to us, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Now, the word set there, and Joshua understood this, was a military term, a warfare term. And God was speaking about a weapon of warfare. And the weapon he was talking about was quite a huge longbow. And that longbow would be able to fire arrows a long distance, okay? And in order to fire that weapon, you would have to set yourself. You'd have to set your feet in a certain way, your legs in a certain way, your torso in a certain way, and then your upper body to be able to pull back this bow because of the power that was in it. And so these guys, these archers, they would have been learning how to operate these things from when they were boys into teenagers, into young men, because it took quite a number of years to actually grow the ability and in the strength and the skill to be able to set yourself to fire these arrows from this bow. And what was God saying? Well, this weapon was used when you had an enemy that was far away, and the guys would line up in different rows and they would begin to fire arrows to begin to take out their enemy from further away. So the enemy couldn't advance, but instead those that are firing the arrows and taking out their enemy could then advance and take ground. How do we know this? Because in the next verse, God says this to him, your territory will extend, and he gives him where it'll extend to. But for us, it's important that we are setting ourselves, our lives, our hearts in such a way to move forward, to take ground. Our territory is going to extend in 2024. Now, here, God's talking about physical territory. For God, God is speaking about spiritual territory. Now, what does that mean for us? It means not only what he does in our lives, but what he wants to do through us in other people's lives. He's talking about the territory of other souls being saved, people being set free, people being healed, people being delivered. It means territory that the enemy at this moment holds in people's lives is going to be captured. It's going to be taken from him, and we're going to begin to possess that. We're going to begin to see that in people's lives. So one of the things that God wants to do during the prayer and fasting over the next couple of weeks, he wants to speak to each one of us personally. So in the context of the vision that we have together as a people and what we're moving into and pressing into more with God together, he wants to speak to each one of us personally so that we know, how are we going to set our lives for 2026? What are we believing for in this year? What is the territory that God wants us to move into and see taken in other people's lives? Family around us that don't yet know Jesus, friends that don't yet know Jesus, things, breakthroughs that we need to see in 2026. God wants to speak to each of us because when he speaks, he authors faith. And when faith arises in us, we believe. And when we believe, we see something in a different way. We then speak about it, pray about it, move towards it in a different way, because he that is in us, the faith that he releases in us is greater than what we see on the outside. And so God wants us to hear from him this year, okay? So we want to set our lives. We're going to be taking territory. We're going to advance and move forward. We're going to see victories and breakthroughs. And then in verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you. You know, when you're living with the word on the inside of you, it enables you to stand up in God in a different way. So when circumstances say something else or people say something else, the word in us, that's when we take hold of it, especially. Because it's like, no. Circumstances aren't going to determine how I live in 2026. God's word is going to determine how I live this year. And God has given me promises. God has spoken. I remember now in the fasting and prayer in January earlier this year, God spoke to me. He gave me a promise. He gave me a word. He gave me some scriptures. He showed me something in my own life or in my marriage or in our family or in our household, whatever it is, he's speaking so that we take hold of us, so that things cannot stand up against us and overcome us, but we stand up and overcome other things this year. And in that, he says, be strong and courageous. The word be strong there means be strong in God. Take courage in him, because you're going to come into some inheritance this year, some breakthroughs, some fruitfulness this year. He reiterates again, be strong and courageous in verse 7. But what does he say then? Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Be careful to obey the word of the Lord. This is why it's important that God wants to speak to us and that we want to be living with his word in our lives this year, because then we can be careful to then pay attention to and to obey and to do what God is saying. The word careful there means to pay attention to, okay? It means this is something to live by, to live to, so that we can obey what God is saying. Then in the rest of this verse, it then says, do not turn from to the right or to the left so that we be successful wherever you go. Why is that important? Because when you have words from God, when you have promises from God, they're like riverbanks. And you know then how God wants your life to flow, how he wants our lives to move, so that we don't get distracted, taken to the right or to the left. Then it says this in verse 8, do not let the book of the Lord depart from your mouth. Do not let the word of the Lord depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. So it's important that we have the word of the Lord in our lives. There's the logos word, the word that we live by as disciples of Jesus, the Bible, the word. But we also have rhema, when God speaks and brings revelation, or he brings a word that inspires faith in us, okay? So that then we can meditate on that, we can believe that, we can then be careful to see that and pay attention to that being worked out in our lives so that we are fruitful. God reiterates again in verse 9, be strong and courageous. Now, three times God says here to Joshua, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Why? Because God knows there's opposition. God knows unbelief wants to take over. God knows circumstances will want to try and weary us and run us down. And so God encourages us at the beginning of this year, hey guys, Kingdom Faith, be bold and be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I am with you wherever you go. What are they wonderful promises that God is speaking to us? Then he says to Joshua, tell your officers, go through the camp, verse 11, and tell the people, get your provisions ready. Get ready because you're about to move. You're going to cross the Jordan. You're going to go in. You're going to take possession. And God is speaking to us, hey, Kingdom Faith, set yourself at the beginning of 2026. Set yourself in the prayer of fasting. Spend time ministering to me and worshiping me. And in that, I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to give you downloads. I'm going to confirm some things. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to give you revelation. And in that context, what are we doing during the prayer and fasting? We are consecrating ourselves. Joshua 3, verse 5. Right before they went in, God said to them, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. What does it mean to consecrate yourself? It means to really set your life aside from living like the world does, or anything that might hinder your relationship with God and living out His purposes in our life and our life together. So there's a setting aside. It means throwing off some things. It means leaving some things behind. And it's not that we focus on those things to try and wrestle with those things to let them go. What we do is we choose Jesus. We choose, say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to choose to focus on you, surrender to you, and give my life to you in a fresh way. And then what begins to happen, things then begin to change. And you begin to focus in a way that if you just try and do it in your own strength, it's difficult. Whereas when we set ourselves on God and we consecrate and we give our lives to Him in a fresh way, then things begin to shift and change. Priorities begin to change. Our focus begins to change. So how do we do this? What does it look like? Well, Jesus, basically, there's three key commands that I believe that Jesus gave in the New Testament. And they're these. Matthew 20, there are lots of commands, but there's three that undergird all of the things that he was speaking about. Matthew 22, verse 37 says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So that's this relationship with God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with your motives, with everything. So you surrender your motives, your agenda, and it's like, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will, and with all your strength. So basically, what's Jesus saying? Just with everything you have, just love God. Say, God, I want to love you this year. Holy Spirit, I need you to be working in my heart and life to love God with every motivation of my heart, with every thought in my mind, with all of my being and my body, I want to love you. I want to serve you and honor you. And then Jesus says this, and the second command is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so what is Jesus saying here? Love God, first of all. And when you love God, that love for God will also then flow to love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's love God, love people. And then Jesus gives another command a few chapters later in chapter 28, which is the third command. And it's this, the Great Commission, which many of us will know. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age. So the third command is the outworking of the first two. To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves, the outworking of that is then to go and make disciples of all nations. And that starts right where we are, locally in our lives, around our lives, our family, our friend, our neighbours, our work colleagues. And then it might go to the nations. It might go beyond that in different ways, as we're going to see today. And so right at the heart of what Jesus is saying is to be a disciple is to make disciples. And that all comes from loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then loving your neighbour as yourself. And so what does this look like? What is the big picture of this in the light of who we are as Kingdom Faith? So if we come back to a statement that was in our vision video, it said, one church in many locations, an apostolic family of leaders and churches, along with overseas workers carrying the same faith and revival dynamic. So the vision that God has given us is local to global. And you can obviously see on the screen here that we're one church initially locally in four locations: Horsham, Crawley, Burgess Hill, and Worthing. And we have a 25-mile radius that we're believing for and reaching out into to see households come into the kingdom. And that's going to increase, that's going to expand during 2026 as we reach out, as things grow and develop during this year. We also have three other Kingdom Faith churches, one in London, one in Yorkshire, in Scarborough. We have one in the southwest in Taunton, and they are Kingdom Faith churches who carry the same DNA, the same faith and revival dynamic, who are working out the same vision as we are here in their locations out into their regions. And then in this nation, we have about another 25 or so partnering or relating churches that might not be Kingdom Faith by name, but they're certainly Kingdom Faith in their DNA and part of the Kingdom Faith family. And they have vision, they have leadership, and they run and do what they do. We don't tell them what they should or shouldn't do, but we have a relationship with them as a Kingdom Faith family, as an apostolic family. And so we do invest in them. We do teaching and training. We encourage. Pastor Jonathan Dyke does some of that. Jane and I do some of that. And others within the team do that. And also from the other Kingdom Faith bases in London, Scarborough, and Yorkshire, they also have input into those churches as well to help encourage and strengthen the Kingdom Faith family across the nation. We also have churches in other nations, in Italy, France, Switzerland, that are in relationship with us. Again, they're churches in their own right, they're congregations in their own right, but they're all part of the Kingdom Faith family. And again, we invest and travel and input into those to help them really grow and develop God's kingdom vision that he's given for them, for their nation, for their locality. And then in terms of overseas workers, currently we have 19 people in 14 different nations doing different things, reaching widows and orphans, working with young people, working with children, reaching families, people in unreached nations. And that looks different in different nations. And most of those people they've all at some point been part of Kingdom Faith Church here, but most have been through the Bible College when that was running before that closed in 2018. And people have been sent out into the nations. And that's part of really being an apostolic people, an apostolic family. We train and we equip and we send. Some of that happens locally in our towns and into our region. Some of that happens sending people into the nation to develop things. And some of that means sending people into nations. And that's why the vision that we have is local to global. And so right at the heart of that, who has God called us to be? He's called us to people, a people that live with this faith and revival dynamic, okay? But at the heart of that is to live as a disciple-making disciples people, a disciple-making disciples community, who walk in obedience, who carry his presence and reveal his nature and character to the world. And this is where the Great Commission comes in. So any church is called at the heart of it to be living the Great Commission, to be going with the gospel, seeing people saved, and then making disciples, but being a disciple-making community. And so at the heart of that, that's who God has called us to be. God has called every one of us to be disciple-making disciples. What does that mean? We come to be in the priesthood of the believer. What does that mean? Everyone is a minister of the gospel. Everyone is part of what God is doing right through the generations. And so one of the things that God spoke to us a few years ago was gear everything to the harvest. Get ready for the harvest, because there's a harvest of souls coming. Now, many of us would know that God is moving in the nation. There's an increase of what the Holy Spirit is doing. All sorts of stories and testimonies of people from different generations, particularly younger people, including men. And we have younger men in our congregations locally here that have been coming saying, I've been reading the Bible. I've been wanting to know more about Christianity. And I looked up on the internet and your church came up. And so I wanted to know, what does it look like to know Jesus? How can I be part of what God is doing? And that's just the first little signs, the first shoots of a harvest time that we're at the beginning of. And so as part of that getting ready, we knew that God was speaking to us about having a discipleship pathway. Now, the next few minutes are going to be a little bit of a reminder, okay, of some of the things that many of us would have heard. But why are we reminding ourselves? Because this is how we are working out day to day what God has spoken to us about, taking the faith and revival dynamic that we have to share the gospel with life and power into people's lives that don't yet know Jesus, so that this phrase that I kind of believe God was speaking to me about, that all of us live beyond our own lives in 2026, that none of us just live a life that is about ourselves and what God wants to do in me and what can I get from God, but actually God wants to grow us beyond our own lives this year, so that all of us in different ways are affecting other people's lives, because we're saying, yes, I want to be part of what God is doing. I don't just want to attend church on a Sunday morning and then go about my life and just be a receiver. I want to be part of the release and the outworking of what the Holy Spirit is doing amongst us. And so this discipleship pathway that we have that is on the walls in this building, in the hub, and the discipleship pathway is this: to know God, to live in freedom, to discover your purpose, and to then make a difference. And I just want to unpack a few things on this pathway, because some of you are on this pathway at this moment. Some of you are right at the beginning. You've just given your life to Jesus. You might have got saved through Alpha in the autumn, and there's another Alpha starting tomorrow in Horsham. I know some of the other congregations are looking at Alpha as well. There's a whole number of people that are going to be on Alpha starting tomorrow night, Monday night, here in Horsham, because some of those of you that have given your life to Jesus are inviting others to come on an Alpha in this new year. And it's exciting what God is doing. And some of you might be right at the beginning of this discipleship pathway. Some of you might be along that journey already. Some of you might be saying, well, I've done most of that. I've kind of done most of the things. But the question is, how can you then be part of helping others? How can you help disciple others in what God is doing and what He's saying amongst us? So just to unpack this discipleship pathway for a few moments, to know God, what is that? It's people to be saved, to come into relationship with Him. And how does that happen? That happens through all of us, our personal witness and reaching out to others. It happens through things like Alpha, us inviting our friends, neighbors, work colleagues, families, whoever it is, to Alpha, so that they can discover, go on a journey of discovery. Who is Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian? Who is God? What is the church all about? What difference does God make in your life? I've got loads of questions. I want to ask all this stuff. And that's what Alpha's all about. Then there are other events. There's outreaches, things that happen throughout the week in different ways, going into the town on Saturdays, our respective towns, sharing the gospel. There's different ways that people come to know God, okay? And as part of that is first steps. When people come to know God, the first thing we say is, right, here's a short course called First Steps, and that's going to give you a really simple introduction as to what does it mean to take the first steps in my relationship with God. What does that look like? And there are some of you guys I know that you haven't given your life to the Lord yet. You haven't really said, I want it. But some of you are saying, I want to do First Steps because I want to continue on this journey off the back of Alpha, because I want to know, what does it look like to take first steps as a Christian? And some of you are going to give your life to Jesus over the next few weeks by doing First Steps, which is going to be really, really exciting. So that's know God. And some of you in the church, in the life of the church, you really have a heart for that know God step. You love to share the gospel. You love to reach out to people. You love to be a catalyst for people to ask questions and be part of answering questions. And you love to be part of leading people to Christ. That's brilliant. Maybe in some way you can get involved in Alpha this year, or in some outreaches or different events and activities that are particularly reaching out to people. All of us this year can have a personal witness, which we'll come to a little bit later, okay? But that first step, know God, is a really important. It's the doorway into the discipleship pathway. Then the next step is live in freedom. The next journey in this pathway. And we have a number of things in that step. Many of you will know about Freedom, that 12-week small group Bible study that is followed by a 24-hour encounter that's really designed to help believers move from that experience of initial salvation to coming into that abundant life that Jesus desires for them. The small group of Freedom is to really equip participants to remove every obstacle to intimacy with God, and then to walk in true freedom through the work that Jesus did on the cross. And it prepares people, that 12-week curriculum that you do on your own through the week, you meet with others in a small group and you share what God is doing in your life. And then at the end of that 12 or 13 weeks, there's the Freedom Encounter, which has 7 sessions, 2 on a Friday, 5 on a Saturday. And they get around different subjects and things that are happening in our lives. And they're like, it's like a truth encounter in the context of worship, where God sets us free to enable us to move forward in our lives. So what does freedom do? Freedom really gets rid of a lot of the negative so that we can then move in and live in the positive, okay? And that's where one of the other tools and resources that we have for Live in Freedom comes in, and that's DNA 1. And that's something that we've been developing over the last 12 months. We've done 3, if not 4 DNAs now. And the next DNA 1, as we're calling it, because DNA 2 is also going to launch, and I'll cover that in a minute. But DNA 1 is beginning again in next month, in February. And what is DNA 1? DNA lays a strong foundation to enable you to become spiritually mature, equipped to live the Christian life and become a disciple-making disciple. Each session is geared to enable people to have a truth encounter with God through the power of His Word, to bring revelation and ignite faith, to have a strong and vibrant relationship with God. Coupled with that is practical teaching and activation in prayer and worship. So DNA 1 consists of these foundational building blocks, okay, to help you know who you are in Christ, become a person of faith, develop a dynamic prayer life, and live as a worshiper, okay? And these building blocks and DNA 1 is going to happen over 4 months, February, March, April, and May, one Saturday a month with a bi-weekly DNA small group in between those Saturdays to work alongside them to really earth everything that God is doing in your life. Now, DNA 1, many people think that DNA has been just for new believers, or people that are new to the church. I want to encourage you, whether you've been in the church more recently or for a long time, okay? I want to encourage you to do DNA 1, okay? You're going to have fresh revelation from God. And from the stories that we've heard, people that have been in the church for a long time that have done DNA so far this year at some point, it's like, man, my relationship with God came alive in a new way. The revelation that I received, it was like, wow, I've known the truths in my head, but they've not been such a reality in my life. And now I'm living in something that I thought I was, but now I've discovered in a totally new way. And what happens when that takes place in our lives, we begin to, that just oozes out of our lives to others. So I want to encourage you, if you've not done DNA at all yet, to sign up for DNA 1, okay? And that is all part of that live in freedom step. There are other tools and resources that we have in Live in Freedom. And one of those things is the bereavement journey. There are many, many people who can get stuck in that place in their life when they lose someone. And the bereavement journey is fantastic for giving people time and space to talk through, to work through, and on their own, but also with others, and to find a whole new place of freedom and purpose in their lives, and even healing for some. And so the Bereavement Journey is a fantastic course alongside other tools and resources that we have to enable people to live in freedom. Now, the third step in our discipleship pathway is discover your purpose. Now, this is where DNA 2 comes in, okay? Now, DNA 2 takes it further on than DNA 1. So DNA 2 moves from more the foundational aspect of Christianity and growing in your faith and your relationship with God to activation. It's really discovering and developing your God-given giftings, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and building a stronger prayer life and sharing your faith with confidence and with the power of God also, okay? And so DNA 2 is really about being activated, empowered, and released into all that God has called you to, okay? So that's also going to be starting next month in February. It will be on the same Saturdays as DNA 1. In February, March, April, and May. There won't be any small groups for DNA 2 because one of the things we want to do in DNA 2 is to actually activate and release people into areas of serving, into areas of ministry, and that will look different in different ways. Some of that literally might be serving on a Sunday, being activated in the area of ministry on a Sunday. Some of that could be being an assistant in some kind of small group or home hub or the first steps groups that are going to be taking place. It might mean that you get involved and learn how to be part of Alpha, an Alpha team. There are lots of different ways that we want to help activate people into areas of serving, areas of ministry. And so DNA 2 is going to be doing that kind of thing, okay? So it's very much about activation, okay? Now, then we move into really making a difference, the fourth step on the pathway. Right at the heart of who we are, that's going to grow and develop more and more through 2026, is home hubs. Now, what are home hubs? Home hubs are really a community of people sharing life together in each other's homes, in each other's lives, and inviting other people into that life, okay? So home hubs are the relational center, the community center, really, of the life of the church, okay? But there's also a missional aspect to this sharing life together. And so really the heart of home hubs is really being like a missional community, of people in relationship with one another, building, encouraging, and strengthening one another, but then also reaching out together, reaching those around their lives and maybe in that community that don't yet know Jesus, okay? And this is partly how we want to help to grow beyond ourselves, okay? And so everything we're really talking about in the life of the church feeds into the home hubs, this community, sharing life, reaching out, and seeing people getting saved and added into the life of the church. And so this discipleship pathway, there's loads of different ways in which people can grow and be discipled. Different ones of us across the church can be involved in different steps, different stages, helping to disciple and invest in different people, okay? But ultimately, all of that then is going to be expressed in home hubs that, again, going to be multiplying in areas, in communities, around our towns where we all live and out into different communities to reach people and see people getting saved and added and disciples. And really going forward, that's really how congregations are going to be developed and planted, by home hubs really developing and multiplying and reaching others, that one hub becomes two hubs, becomes three hubs, becomes four, that really begins to develop a congregation in an area, in a town, in a village, in a community somewhere. And so I'm excited about what God's going to do. And that's why the discipleship pathway is so, so important, because it's the pathway for the harvest to come into, so that we can then disciple them, and then they become disciples and they begin to make disciples, okay? So that's the discipleship pathway in the life of the church. Now, in the vision video, the next statement that was made was, from generation to generation, children, young people, adults, carrying the fire of God with courage and boldness. A healthy church is a generational church. God has called us to be a company of burning hearts together. And in order to see what we've just been talking about for the last 20 minutes or so, is the need to be living in the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit across all the generations. And so we want to be stoking that fire, not just in our own lives, but we want to be stoking that fire in one another's lives. We want to be encouraging one another, championing each other, standing with one another, fueling that faith in one another, so that the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit is working in each of us and amongst us and then through us as a people from generation to generation. And I just want to say at this point, a huge, huge thanks to all of you in all the congregations that are involved in some way in investing into the children and the young people in our church. I think we all want to say a massive, massive thank you to all of our children's workers, particularly to Dave Hellier and to Megan Urquhart, who spend a lot of time putting resources together, teaching together, all the materials together. And then all of you that work in our congregations with young people and children, I just want to thank you for giving your time, for giving your energy, for praying, for investing, for loving, for serving the next generation coming through in our church. It's absolutely invaluable. And because these are the guys who are going to affect the generation around us. These are the guys in the coming years who are going to be leading things more and more over the next 5 and 10 years. These are the guys that we want to champion and encourage and strengthen, because living in their generation is not easy in these times. And so we want to thank all of you that have been serving and are serving so, so faithfully the next generation in our church. Thank you, thank you, thank you, okay? Now, the next line in this our vision video is, a people of worshiping encounter called to live as standard bearers of God's word and his ways in our generation, who champion the cause of the gospel and hold to the truth in the face of opposition and compromise. There's going to be only more increasing opposition to the word of God, to the purposes of God, because the devil knows the end. He knows the end of the story, and he's going to oppose believers and the church more and more and more. But at the core of who we are as Kingdom Faith, the core of our DNA is, we're a people of worship. We're a people who encounter God. We're a people who want to meet with him, and he wants to meet with us. At the core of our DNA is, we are people who want to live the word and live according to the word. We're a people who want to share the gospel, because we can't make the gospel acceptable to people. It's the gospel that makes us acceptable to God. And so we want to be full of faith and full of love as we proclaim this life-transforming gospel that the world needs. It doesn't matter what's going on in our nation, all the issues, all the challenges, and whatever's happening, the answer is the gospel. And the answer is a people living in the power, the life, and the fire of the Holy Spirit that this nation needs. And so we're going to be championing one another all year. to be living in that, okay? And another part of our DNA is this: contending for the purposes of God in our nation and the nations through strong, persistent, and consistent prayer. God has called us to be a house of prayer for all nations. That means He's called us to be a people of prayer. When we read the book of Nehemiah, when they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, it said all the peoples, all the families worked together to rebuild the walls, okay? And we see it doesn't matter what the families were, what their jobs were, what their lives looked like, everybody got involved. And as we've been praying into 2026 as a leadership, we believe God's been speaking to us about this being a house of prayer for all nations. And we believe God's said to us that we're in prayer as a church. We're to build a wall in prayer daily for three things. Firstly, to pray for the church, our church and the church. Secondly, to pray for the lost and the people that we're reaching. And thirdly, to pray for the nation and the nations. And so we believe God spoke to us about this prayer. And what we're going to call it is Pray 365, okay? There's 365 days in the year. There's 12 months in the year. So we're going to break the 365 days in the year down to 12 months. And then there's 31 days basically in each month. And so as we were talking and praying through this and brainstorming around this, what we kind of felt was the right thing to do was that every one of us in the life of the church, and this can involve the young people as well, and if you want to do this in your families, your household, you can work this out in your own situation. But what we felt it was right to do was that every person has one day each month, and that you pray the same day each month. So it might be that you have the 10th of the month, or the 15th, or the 20th, whatever it is, that you have one day each month where you are specifically going to pray that day, and you're going to pray for the church, you're then going to pray for the lost, and you're going to pray for the nation. And you might do that, one of those things in the morning, one of those things at lunchtime, and one of those things later in the day. But we want to encourage every person, okay, to take one day each month, okay? And across our church, that means about 15 or 16 people are going to be praying on any given day of the month, okay? And we're going to start this in February. And not this Sunday, but next Sunday, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to have buckets in the meetings, and there'll be different little pieces of paper in the buckets, and each paper will have a number on it. And what we want to do, you're going to come forward and you're going to take a piece of paper out, and that number will be your day each month that you're going to pray as part of building this wall in prayer, to see breakthroughs, to see lives saved, to see things overcome, to build a wall to resist the enemy, but to build a wall of protection around the church, around those getting saved, and all of that stuff, okay? And so I'm really, really excited about Pray 365, because we were saying, Lord, how do we really be a house of prayer where everybody can be involved, where it's not about just coming to more prayer meetings, but it's got to be workable in our lives. And this is what we kind of, through prayer and chatting and brainstorming, we've kind of landed. So I hope you're excited about that, Pray 365. So we're going to start that from February the 1st. Now, if you pick out a number that is 31, for example, and you say, well, some months don't have 31 days. Well, just on when it is, either pick, I'll pray on the 30th, or I'll pray on the 1st of the next month, okay? Just decide in your own situation. If you think, well, February's only got 28 days, and I've got 29, or I've got 30, or I've got 31, well, just pray on the 28th, or pray on the 1st, okay? It just means a lot more people will be praying. The main thing is, in the spirit, there is a wall of prayer There's a release of faith. There's a release in the Spirit, praying for our church, praying for the lost, and praying for the nation. And we're putting together some stuff that will be on the website, some resources, some things that are going to help you to how to pray, what to pray. And these are just guides. These are tools. These are resources for you, okay? You don't have to use any of them, but they're there if you want to. There'll be scriptures, there'll be ideas, there'll be thoughts. And also on the website, and also we're still just landing this, answers to prayer, okay? So you can put testimonies, stories up, and we're going to develop some things so it's easy to see what is God doing, answers to prayer, like a prayer wall, if you like. So if there's a prayer wall in the Spirit going up, we want to put on that wall, these are answers to prayer. This is what God's doing. These are stories, these are testimonies, these are answers, these are breakthroughs, and so that we can just encourage each other with what God is doing. And in Habakkuk 2, verse 1, it says this, I will stand at my watch and set myself on the rampart, and I will watch to see what God says to me. Okay. And so this is part of setting ourselves in 2026, that all of us take a piece of paper, whatever date of the month, and then on that day, each month, we set ourselves to pray, okay, in those three ways. Now, last thing on that one, I just want to encourage you, okay, on the day that you are praying, I want to encourage you to fast, okay? One of the things I believe God wants to do, and I know talking with other church leaders in other places, in terms of, there's a sense of God wants to build more resilience, spiritual resilience, and stronger faith in the church, in believers, in the days that we are in, and the challenges that we're going to increasingly be facing in culture and in society. And one of the ways in which you can build spiritual resilience and strength is actually to fast when you're praying. And I want to encourage you with this Pray 365 to fast at least one meal a day. And because God wants to build some spiritual resilience and strength in each of us as we pray. Okay, so that's Pray 365. And there'll be more about that next Sunday in each congregation. Now, the next part, I need to crack on with this so we can just respond to the Lord this morning. Getting to the end, in the vision video, it said, called to bring a biblical understanding of God's heart for Israel and the Jewish people, honoring their role in God's redemptive plan through his unbreakable covenant made with them. Now, the Bible is God's overarching story, okay? It's his kingdom story of what he wants to do on earth as it is in heaven. And as part of that, it's his redemptive plan of salvation for mankind. And at the heart of that story, there's a people and a place. The place is Israel, and the people are the Jewish people. And he's made covenant promises with them that are yet to be fully fulfilled. He's outworking those promises to them. And over the last 20 years or so, God spoke to us 20 years ago, and actually through a few other people prophetically, God gave us a bit of a mandate, okay? We didn't come up with this. It's like it came through other people as well, people in Israel that we knew at the time. God gave us a bit of a mandate in relation to Israel to help bring a biblical understanding to the church in the nation. And we're not the only ones doing that, but we felt this is part of who we are as Kingdom Faith. And so, over the last 20 years, things have been developing and growing, but we've been developing in our teaching, not only in the life of the church, but when we had the Bible College, when Jane and I particularly, when we go out, God increasingly is getting us to teach on things and speak about this with other leaders and with churches. But we've been teaching on a biblical understanding of Israel, God's heart for Israel, the Jewish people. What does that mean for the church? What does it mean as part of God's kingdom purposes? We've been developing a few resources in relation to that. We're going to do more of that. This year, we're going to be developing resources in relation to Israel stuff and the Jewish people, but also in relation to other subjects, other areas, okay? And we're just brainstorming all that at the moment. We've done many tours to Israel over the years, and this year, in June, from the 3rd to the 11th, there's going to be another tour in Israel. Jane and I are part of developing an organization called Israel Next with some friends of ours in Israel, in Norway, in Oslo. And There's going to be a tour in June, 3rd to the 11th this year, and there's going to be people from different nations coming on that tour. And if that's something you're interested in, please come and chat to us, okay? Or email in, and we'll give you the information for that tour that's going to be taking place. We're still developing a relationship with the Israel Embassy in London, with the Jewish community. We've done events in different ways with both the Jewish community and the Israel Embassy in regards to Israel. And there's other ways in which we are continuing to develop that. But that heart for Israel, okay, which doesn't mean we're pro-Israel, anti-something else, but it's a heart for Israel. Now, in Israel, there are Jews, there are Arabs, there are many different nationalities of people, and God loves all the people there. And so when we talk about Israel, we do mean a heart for the Jewish people, but we also mean a heart for the Arabs there. There are Arab Israelis, there are Arab Muslims, there's the Palestinians there. And so God loves all the people. And so when we have a heart for Israel, it means we have a heart also for all the people there in the nation. Okay, so we're going to be unpacking that more throughout the year. And then finally, the last part of our video statements is preparing for the end time harvest, living with urgency and hope for the one who breaks open the way and goes up before us. What does that mean for us? It's all hands on deck. That we're available, we're ready as disciple-making disciples. We're getting actively involved in the discipleship pathway somewhere. We're either going through it because we're that being discipled, we're getting involved in it, helping to disciple others. And also our homes and our lives are getting ready. And as I said earlier on, home hubs are going to be a key component to discipling the harvest over the next few years and the multiplication of home hubs because of what God is doing. And our homes being a place of salvation, a place of healing, a place of safety, a place of love, like oases for people to come into and be discipled, places of breakthrough. And so I'm excited about this year, about 2026 and all that God's going to be doing. There's other events, outreaches, different things throughout the summer. We've got a baptism coming up in 5 or 6, where are we now? Maybe a couple of months' time. We've got baptism coming up as well as one in the summer because there's more and more people that need to be baptized. There's other summer parties and outreaches that will be going on and things throughout the year that are great opportunities to be inviting family, friends, neighbors to over this coming 12 months. And right at the end of that video, there were statements made, breakthrough, increase, our King is coming. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Let's live in the now of God every day and not in the tomorrow. Well, I'll think about it tomorrow. I think because, you know, tomorrow never comes, does it? Because we only live in the today. And so the decisions we make today will affect how we live tomorrow. So let's be people of today. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Let's just spend a few minutes just responding to the Lord. And we did this last week in Horsham, but I just want to encourage you, let's just take a few moments to consecrate ourselves for this year as we come into 2 weeks of prayer and fasting, as we come into the beginnings of this year. So I just want to encourage you where you are to posture yourself right now. If you want to kneel down, you can do. And maybe that's a good posture to take. If you want to kneel just for a few moments, And this is what we're doing. We're saying, Father, I just bow before you right now. I humble myself before you today. I want to set myself and position myself right at the beginning of this year to consecrate my heart and my mind and my body, all that I am, to set it apart, to set it aside for you. I thank you that my body is a temple of your Holy Spirit. And I want to honor you this year with the way that I live, in both the way that I think, the way that I speak, what I eat, what I drink, my lifestyle, that as you speak and work in my heart and life, it would be the way you want me to live, the way that I relate and love others. That I would love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength this year. I would love my neighbour as myself. And that this year I would be part of living out the Great Commission to be a disciple making disciple, to help others know you, grow in you, for others to find freedom and get set free, to others to be liberated and see breakthroughs in their lives, or to help train and equip others in all that you want to do through them. Father, I just consecrate afresh myself. I set myself. Father, I want to hear your voice, particularly over the next few weeks. Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? Maybe just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you speak to me in the next couple of weeks so that I'm living with your word? I'm living with a word from you, some things you're saying, like the riverbanks for my life. And I want you to speak to me throughout the year so I'm living with riverbanks so that the flow of your spirit can flow with the word that you've spoken into my life and continue to speak. Because Father, I want to live in obedience. I want to be fruitful and I want my life to honour you this year in 2026. Father, I thank you for the miracles that you're going to work through my life, the way in which you're going to move powerfully in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's have a great 2026. Let's have a great week of prayer and fasting. Tuesday nights is encounter nights in Horsham for all congregations together. Wednesday nights are encounter evenings locally in each congregation. Both those evenings, both weeks are at 7:30 in all congregations. So I encourage you to really get plugged into those and just be part of what God is doing. The ones from Horsham will be streamed. So if you can't make it, you're not able to make it, various reasons, appreciate some of you with sometimes with babysitting or sometimes whatever the scenario might be where you can't make it, then you can still connect in and be part of that in some way. But if you can make it, I really encourage you to be here in person in your congregation or here on Tuesday nights for all that God wants to do and say amongst us. There's other prayer in congregations going on that you'll be aware of or you'll be told of maybe this morning. And also here at lunchtimes each day, 1 to 1:45 each weekday, there are prayer meetings led by different people. And if you can make those, we'd love to be part of that. You're more than welcome to come and pray and in with what God is doing. So bless you guys. Let's have a great 2026. Love you loads, praying for you and looking forward to all that God's going to be doing.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.